You're listening to The Political Scene, a show about current events and the political forces driving them. I'm Tyler Foggett, and I'm a senior editor at The New Yorker. A few days before Christmas, New York City pastor Lamar Whitehead, who is sometimes known as the Bling Bishop, was federally indicted for a number of alleged crimes. Among the charges was that he tried to extort a businessman by claiming that he had pull with City Hall. Bishop Whitehead is a close friend of New York Mayor Eric Adams. This is not the first time that the mayor's friends have found themselves in legal trouble, or that Adams has faced questions about potential corruption. My colleague Eric Latch writes a regular column about New York City politics, and over the weekend, he published a bombshell report on the long history between the mayor and Whitehead. Thanks so much for being here, Eric.
Thanks for having me.
So Eric Adams has become almost notorious for his thriving social life. He went to the Met Gala. He went to, like, this Balenciaga fashion show. He spends a bunch of time at Zero Bond, the members-only social club. And he has all these shady friends. Like, before your piece, the most well-known example was probably the Petrosant twins, the convicted fraudsters who own La Baia, which appears to be the mayor's favorite restaurant. So I'm wondering, who is Bishop Lamar Whitehead, and how does he fit into this whole scene?
It's not that New York City mayors with strange and colorful sort of social circles is a new thing for New York, but Mayor Adams came into office with sort of a particular set of friends who he called mentees, who were men who had been accused of serious crimes, complex crimes, financial crimes in the past, and who the mayor said, you know, that as a former cop and as an older man, he had sort of taken under his wing and tried to sort of guide or sort of nebulous. He was sort of vague about what that entailed, but he was saying that sort of he had these people who had been through hard places, dark places that he was trying to sort of help. And, you know, I had had sort of, you know, since these guys started popping up, I had sort of been wondering sort of just kind of what these relationships were, what they meant to the mayor and sort of how we should think about them. And then in the spring and summer, this guy, Bishop Whitehead, popped up in the news in these just really just bombastic, just impossible to miss ways. So the first instance was in the spring when Whitehead claimed to have negotiated the surrender of a man who was wanted for murder directly with the mayor.
This morning I received a phone call from the family who I pastor, the aunt of Mr. Abdullah, and they said that they needed help. I began to reached out to my sister Nicole Johnson. I reached out to our mayor, Eric Adams.
That he called the mayor and sort of suggested a plan for sort of this guy to surrender directly to the mayor of New York City, largest city in the country.
Mayor Adams, we've been in contact all morning, and he was ready to be here for the young man to be turned in.
Pretty powerful mentee.
Yeah, and Adams was very weird in response because he didn't deny it. Then he just kind of was just brushing it off, like, yeah, it's sort of, that may have happened, and sort of wasn't distancing himself from this strange guy, wasn't denying all these claims that he was making in the press about him. And then in July, the bishop, became sort of for a moment a kind of subject of fascination, like all over the country.
A Brooklyn bishop was robbed at gunpoint in the middle of his Sunday sermon today, and it was all caught on camera.
Basically, a robbery took place at his church on a Sunday morning while he was giving a sermon.
Walked in with guns.
How many of you have lost your faith because you saw somebody else die, what you about to go through? Yo. All right.
These guys came in with guns and they stripped Whitehead, the bishop, and his wife of what was reported to be up to like $1 million worth of jewelry. And it was just such a sort of on the surface horrendous, but also just cartoonish crime. And at that point, basically, a lot of reporters in New York City started taking another look at Whitehead and sort of found out that he had spent a long time in prison on serious identity theft and fraud charges, and that he also had this, you know, wasn't just a kind of surface, like, oh, they bumped into each other at events, relationship with the mayor, but there seemed to be something more, something deeper, and that this story is an attempt to try to answer what that is, basically.
So just to be clear, I mean, the charges in this indictment against Whitehead, how do they relate to Adams? And does it seem like the federal government is looking at Adams too, or just Whitehead at this point?
Right. So the indictment was careful and pretty terse. It basically
sounds like an indictment.
Yeah. So it you know, what it said was that there was basically two sort of separate stories that it told. One was that Whitehead had stolen like $90,000 from a parishioner who sort of had some arrangement with Whitehead where she thought he was going to help her buy a house. And then not only did he not help her, but he just took this money and didn't give it back. But then the real news in the indictment, the thing that wasn't known before it was unsealed just a couple days before Christmas, was that Whitehead had allegedly extorted a man who the feds describe as a businessman for $5,000, and then asked him, same businessman, for $500,000, and in doing so had promised him, you know, what the indictment describes pretty vaguely as sort of city government actions. And, you know, what I found out in my reporting, is the lead in the article, is that this businessman, his name's Brandon Belmonte, I mean, what White had told him was that he had City Hall in his back pocket.
Subtle.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and that he, that Adams had once offered him a $50 million construction contract, and that he could get that Whitehead told this guy Belmonte that Adams could make a property this guy Belmonte had an interest in the Bronx into a homeless shelter so that this guy could get, quote, city benefits. And, you know, and he told this guy that you know, Eric, as in Eric Adams, is doing big things, and I, as in Lamar Whitehead, got to get mine. And, you know, this was like cartoonishly explicit. You know, in the indictment, the prosecutors, I mean, this case is being handled by a number of prosecutors in the public corruption unit in the Southern District. And they were careful in the indictment to say that when Whitehead was saying these things, was making these promises to this businessman, that he, quote, knew that he could not deliver the government actions that he was promising. But it's not clear, you know, from the indictment how prosecutors felt confident making that assertion. And, you know, one of the questions that I asked City Hall was whether the mayor or anybody in the administration had been interviewed or subpoenaed in the course of the investigation into Whitehead, you know, because that would be one of the obvious ways in which prosecutors would just try to run down, you know, whether Whitehead was really had the pull that he said he had, you know, would be, let's go ask the mayor. And so, you know,
does he have you in his back pocket?
They denied it. Today, just earlier today, you know, we're speaking on Tuesday, but just earlier today, the mayor said at a press conference that neither he nor anybody in his administration had been subpoenaed. And then, you know, when people tried to follow up on whether he'd been interviewed or spoken, he just said, I'm not taking any more questions on that.
So you mentioned that Whitehead spent some time in prison. What is your sense of how his criminal acts, you know, how that is overlapped with his friendship with Adams?
Right. So, yeah. So Whitehead is in his mid-40s. He's about 15 years younger than Adams. And in 2008, he was sentenced to spend at least a decade in prison for what prosecutors on Long Island called one of the largest identity theft cases that they had ever seen. And then he was sentenced to spend, you know, at least a decade in prison. He appealed the case and he ended up getting out in 5 years in 2013. And it's at that point, we think that he meets Adams. And then the other key thing to know about that timeline is that the fall of 2013 is when Adams is elected Brooklyn Borough President, which is the job that he held for two terms before becoming mayor of New York. And
so Adams had accumulated some political power.
Yeah, he was kind of just on the rise. You know, it was just at the real start of his rise that sort of ends up with him in City Hall. And Whitehead kind of ends up in this social scene that Adams is in, you know, that then is sort of several of the figures in that social scene are the guys who Adams, you know, has been saying are his mentees, basically.
Yeah, who are the other mentees?
You mentioned them earlier, but these brothers, Robert and Zahn Petrosyans, who run restaurants and were convicted or pled guilty to financial. They were accused of some serious financial crimes of conspiracy. They were accused of conspiracy to launder money, and then they ended up pleading guilty to lesser charges. But still, like, they were accused of complex and serious acts. And then basically they start running these restaurants in Brooklyn, including this one on Flatbush Avenue called Woodland, where Adams, liked to hang out at night when he was Brooklyn Borough President, which sort of mirrors kind of what he's been doing as mayor, which is hanging out at the Petrosyans restaurant, new restaurant in Midtown, La Baia, which you mentioned. And so, like, these are two, there's been other people who he's talked about, like, helping and he's talked a lot about really believing in redemption for people and not writing people off sort of personally if they've been accused of things and stuff like that.
And to what extent do people think that, something shady is going on between the mayor and his mentees?
You know, they both insist that they never had any, financial dealings with each other. Whitehead said to me that everybody keeps asking him if he and Adams had some, quote, fiduciary experience, and that he insisted that they hadn't. And a spokesperson for City Hall insisted to me that they hadn't.
I mean, do you think that the only reason why people should care, about Lamore Whitehead is because there's a chance that he and Adams are in business together? Or do you think that these relationships that the mayor has with Whitehead, with the Petrosyans, that, even if there, there was no fiduciary experience and they're not financially tied, that it's still fair for, people to scrutinize these guys?
First of all, I think those questions are very live and very significant. But I also think that part of this story was just going back and looking at a key period for Eric Adams politically and personally and trying to put some context into, where the current mayor of New York City came from. And Whitehead is a particularly colorful and dramatic figure who was around the mayor at a key period.
As you say, that raises a lot of questions. But I guess the question that comes to mind for me is just why this wasn't a bigger deal when Adams was running for mayor. I mean, it sounds like all this stuff was happening, sort of before the campaign began, and it was starting to come out during the primary. And so why wasn't this decisive?
I mean, there's a lot of answers to that question, I think. But it's something that, his rivals in the, especially in the Democratic Party race, which is a pretty competitive race, I think, felt at the time, that partially because it was sort of the pandemic was still kind of on, and so reporting was a little bit more constrained, but also partially because there was, 150 people ran for mayor in New York City in 2021. There was just so many candidates to get through that, the depth of reporting that could be done on each one, it was a close race. So Adams was a favorite from early on, but it was a close race. And there's a period of time where, the press was giving attention to Andrew Yang. There was a period of time when, the press was giving attention to Kevin Garcia. There was a period of time, on down the list. And so, it just didn't quite come up during the campaign. And, that is what it is. And so now this reporting now, the mayor was at a press conference earlier today talking about, he was asked about this article and he sort of batted it away and said it was full of innuendos and everybody's going back and sort of investigating him for, stealing donuts from his, high school cafeteria or whatever and sort of dismissing it all as just kind of valueless. But I do think that, the mayor is a relatively new figure to many people in New York City. And he's still pretty new in office and the city's just getting to know its mayor. And in some ways, like this work is just about doing that.
We'll have more with Eric Latch in a moment.
Hi, it's David Remnick. If you're enjoying this podcast, you might enjoy even more of what The New Yorker has to offer. Becoming a subscriber gives you unlimited access to The New Yorker, including Pulitzer Prize-winning reporting, insightful cultural commentary, and fiction and poetry. You'll also enjoy our delightful cartoons, crossword puzzles, narrated stories, and much more. This past year, our readers were gripped by Ronan Farrow's profile of Elon Musk, Heidi Blake's extraordinary tale about Dubai's runaway princesses, and much more. Visit newyorker.com to gain access to all this and more. Use the code POD15, P-O-D-1-5, to secure a 15% discount on a yearly digital subscription. That's POD15 for a 15% discount.
So in the piece, you talk about how Adams's embrace of Whitehead specifically is hypocritical, given the sort of tough-on-crime stance that the mayor has taken since he's been in office. And I'm wondering if you could talk a little bit about, you know, what the mayor's general position has been toward crime and repeat offenders, and, yeah, just explain how Whitehead seems to be an exception.
To me, this is the real crux. This is the real crux of it, because you know, politicians have strange associates. Politicians, you know, are called on to answer for other people's actions all the time, and we can debate sort of how fair or not that is. But
yeah, I mean, de Blasio couldn't even go to the gym, right?
Right. Exactly. I mean, exactly. There's all, you know, it's like you can raise all kinds of like questions and sort of just really scrutinize somebody. But, you know, Adams, in many ways, won election for being the tough-on-crime candidate. He has described the recent uptick in crime not just as a kind of transient problem caused by the disruptions of the pandemic, but as a kind of indicator of, like, a deeper unwellness in the city. And, you know, Lamar Whitehead, you know, the number of people who I called who had stories about being hurt, conned, burned by this guy, while he was publicly identifying himself as a mentee and close friend of Eric Adams, you know, a question that I would have loved to have asked the mayor is just, you know, okay, we talk about crime in the overall, in the abstract, and he talks about it constantly, about how we should think about the quote-unquote bad guys.
Yeah.
And what we should do with them and how we should treat them. And, you know, Lamar Whitehead, like, you know, not to judge anybody else, but, like, you know, was a guy who a lot of people were reporting as somebody who was hurting them and who was doing things to them that were serious. And Adams knew enough, I think, to ask him sort of why he felt in the specifics of that case, in the specifics of that person, that he was just going to let Whitehead continue to be somebody who everybody thought was a friend of his.
And people in the piece, I mean, they allege more than just negligence on Adams's part. You know, it doesn't seem like it was just that Adams heard that this stuff was happening and kind of ignored it. There are people who say that they reported Whitehead to law enforcement over the years, and they came away feeling as though he was protected by his relationship with Adams, which, I mean, I guess, you know, I would love to hear exactly what, you know, you think that they were alleging. But it reads to me as though, you know, Adams is a former cop. People reporting Whitehead to the cops, they don't want to do anything about it. I mean, is that what was happening?
I mean, this is like contemporaneous emails and writings online and things of people being like, I tried to call the local precinct on this guy, and he drops Eric Adams's name. Or, like, you know, like, I basically, as soon as Eric Adams's name comes up, nobody wants to do anything. And, you know, so this was something, the impression was out there and was widely out there in Brooklyn that this was a guy who you couldn't really, you know, you couldn't really do anything about. And that was directly because of his relationship with Adams. And, you know, I don't know the explanation for that. They won't, you know, they won't engage on that question.
And these people who were, you know, trying to report Whitehead and, you know, not really getting anything out of it, I mean, it seems like a lot of them were, you know, members of the Black church community in Brooklyn, working class Black people. I mean, their profile kind of sounds almost exactly like that of the Adams voter. And so I'm wondering whether it would be fair to say that the mayor's support of Whitehead has, you know, basically facilitated crimes against the mayor's constituents, or whether that's maybe too far.
I mean, this is a story about, you know, the story about Whitehead is a story about the Black community in Brooklyn. That's where Whitehead set up his church. Like, those are the kinds of people who Whitehead was trying to attract to his church. And Whitehead, you know, has also talked about being in real estate in various ways, and his activities, you know, and what he was doing sort of intersects with a lot of companies and figures who were working in real estate in the historically Black neighborhoods of Brooklyn in the last 10, 15 years. Yeah, I mean, we're talking about, like, church folks. These are the people who were reporting Whitehead, you know, and Whitehead basically, you know, so we talked about Adams's rise, but, like, Whitehead gets out of prison and he, he had been ordained as he had sort of been in ministry, but been ordained as a pastor during his criminal trial in 2006, 2007, 2008. And he comes out of prison and he sets up first what he calls a youth outreach ministry, sort of under the auspices of a church in Brooklyn. And his ministry is called Leaders of Tomorrow Brooklyn. Whitehead, sort of the way he operates, is like he gets into disputes with like everybody he deals with, like sort of all along the way. These people who just like, you know, people deal with him and then they kind of throw up their hands or run away or try to report him or something. And, you know, he spins out basically the Leaders of Tomorrow Brooklyn, which becomes his church, Leaders of Tomorrow International Ministries. And, you know, that's his top line sort of like activity, most visible activity is like he's running this small church. But at the same time, he's getting in real estate, sort of he had been involved in real estate before he went to prison. And he gets, sort of gets back into it when he gets out. And he also tells people he's going to go into politics. And he starts hanging out with, you know, like Adams, but also kind of other kind of like in the sort of swirl of like the political scene in Brooklyn. Adams won a very close election, you know, thanks in large part to his popularity among outer borough working class voters, particularly black voters in the outer boroughs. And, you know, Whitehead is somebody who, you know, has operated in that community in a very different capacity during that same period. And that's sort of one of the things that I think the story, the reporting sort of led me to sort of think about is just. You know, what could the bond between these two guys be, since their public or since this sort of their relationship to the same community seems to be very different? You know, like Adams has said that he wants to champion these corners of the city that have been neglected and that have been politically like overlooked for the city's like entire history. And, you know, and Whitehead, you know, as evidenced in the most recent federal indictment, as in light of all kinds of things that people told me that, you know, just treating that community like something to exploit.
It seems like Adams has, you know, over the past year or so, you know, sort of been, it seems like he's been focusing on kind of positioning himself as more of a national figure. And I'm wondering whether you think that these sort of, you know, like sketchy associations he has, whether, you know, they're almost a product of that larger goal, or whether there's something that could threaten, you know, him, you know, ever having
national viability. I think his response to this story today, you know, it's like, I mean, he wants to put all this stuff way behind him. You know, he wants to treat this like ancient history, so ancient that nobody could possibly care about it. And it's not ancient, and it's
yes, you know, it's quite fresh.
It's pretty fresh, and it's what he has spent most of his political career. It's the context of most of his political career. I mean, Eric Adams, the mayor, like he's been mayor for a year, and the kind of scene that Lamar Whitehead basically inhabits, you know, is where Adams spent his first 20 years in politics.
So has Adams said anything sort of negative about Whitehead in the wake of Whitehead's arrest?
He's treaded very carefully. Whitehead, you know, the other thing I think to know is that this relationship between Adams and Whitehead, you know, it's not that this is just the first time that people are like raising public questions about it. In 2016, the New York Post ran a couple of articles about like all the sort of partnerships and claims that Whitehead was making about his work in the community in Brooklyn and all the people who were basically disassociating themselves of Whitehead, you know, when asked. And Adams was not one of those, was in fact the lone figure to basically say, like, I'm sticking with this guy. And his explanation for that has been that, you know, that he is somebody who Adams, you know, part of Adams' story is that he was beaten in the basement of a police precinct in Queens when he was 15 years old. And Adams, you know, when questioned about Whitehead, has said, well, I had early run-ins with the law and people still embraced me and helped me after that. And so because of that, like, I embrace, you know, Lamar Whitehead and continue to embrace Lamar Whitehead. That's what he said a couple of years ago. Now, more recently, he's treaded a lot more carefully. You know, the allegations against Whitehead are a lot more serious. But he has said, like, it's not his place to judge Whitehead. you know, which again, I think is just a political matter. I think, you know, just to me is the question is it's not. I mean, you know, it's why not? I don't understand that answer. It seems to me that a mayor of New York City has to judge people all the time in order to get anything done. Judge people and needs and context and all these things.
And a mentor certainly has to judge a mentee. I mean, that's sort of goes into the question we were, you know, discussing earlier, this friendship versus mentorship thing. I mean, I could see someone saying, oh, you know, he's just my friend. I really enjoy hanging out with him, but I didn't know he was doing all this other stuff and I can't stand by that. But I mean, it seems like Adams has really embraced this idea that he is, you know, almost like a paternal figure to Whitehead. Right. And so it seems even stranger that he wouldn't, right, you know, speak, I guess, just more.
He just seems to not want to. And he resents the question. And he resents the question, you know, and again, like that's his right to resent the question. But I think it's a perfectly fair question.
I wonder if like one thing that's worth getting at is just like how Adams, by being so, you know, just like public in his support of these guys, like, and like by calling them mentees, Adams is kind of lending them like legitimacy in a way. He's making them more credible, and especially with Whitehead. I mean, that's how Whitehead was getting meetings.
I mean, that's the thing with this, the Whitehead story. I mean, like, Lamar Whitehead was dropping Eric Adams's name all over town
before he tried to extort a businessman. Yeah. I mean, that's like the final
for years, you know, and he was using Eric Adams's name to boost himself, you know, and to put himself in a position to, you know, get more attention, make more money, make this, make that. And Adams, you know, I'm not in his head, but from my reporting, it's pretty clear that Adams knew. And he seemed fine with it. And it's just not clear why he would be so fine with it.
Well, thank you, Eric.
Thank you, guys.
Eric Latch is a staff writer at The New Yorker. You can read his most recent story, How Eric Adams Started Mentoring a Con Man, on NewYorker.com. This has been The Political Scene. I'm Tyler Foggett. The show was produced by Michelle Moses, with help from Sydney Cobb. We had special production assistance today by Eli Cohen. Stephen Valentino is our executive producer. Thank you so much for listening.